You're listening to Buffalo Bills Football Monday on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550. Now, the Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio, brought to you by
Northwest Bank. Make the switch to Northwest Bank and get back to living. By Losi and Ganji, Buffalo's workers' comp attorneys working hard for hardworking Western New Yorkers. By Arbite Software, the best office phone system in Buffalo. And presented by Catholic Health, the right way to care.
On that note, let's do this now to start the top of this hour here, all right? Sal Capaccio with you, Extra Point Show, Buffalo Football Monday, WGR Sports Radio 550. Brayton Wilson producing for me here this morning. Let's do the top of the hour this way. Let's start off with our Extra Point from the sidelines, brought to you by Catholic Health. Quality care that keeps you in the game, that's the right way to care. And the reason I want to bring this up right now is it's on my brain, and I just got to tell you, shame on the Miami Dolphins and how they set up their radio booth for their announcers to be able to call a game, okay? Because something has to change. It's been like this for years, but basically, in case you didn't know, and I give John Murphy and Mark Kelso so much credit in the broadcast booth for the way they were able to call the game despite being in really adverse conditions. And what I mean by that is the radio booth is literally stuck in the corner of the end zone over the tunnel where the players walk in and out, and you cannot see anything on the other side of the field unless Murph gets on his binoculars, they look at the monitor, they can't tell what's going on. So for them to be able to get through that again this year, which has been a recurring problem every year, and someone needs to do something about this. Yeah, I know, broadcaster problems, suck it up. No, it's not right. You want a good job, you want your broadcasters to be able to call the game the right way and see what they're supposed to see, move the damn radio booth closer to the 50-yard line. Even if it's at the 30, that's fine. Put it on the side somewhere. You know where it is? Imagine if you go to a Bills game and you sit up in the writer's press box area above the tunnel. The M&T Bank, the club seats up there. Will you see that? Imagine if you sat there and you had to call a game on the radio and everything was on the other side of the field down in the scoreboard end zone. Imagine if you sat over the tunnel, essentially, and had to call the game that way. You just can't do it. It's hard. And that's my extra point from the sidelines. It's a gripe. It's a complaint. And every single radio person in this league should complain to the Miami Dolphins about the Miami Dolphins doing that to their radio broadcasters because it sucks. And I give Murph and Kelso a lot of credit yesterday for having to battle through that because every year it's the same thing. And every year, no one does anything about it. Told you I was fired up today. Let's go to Brian in Rochester. What's up, Brian?
Hey, Sal. Big fan of the show.
Thank you.
Three things. I think before halftime, we had a chance to score, and he shot the Hail Mary. But I think we should have kicked the field goal right there.
And also, you know, here, let me. I'm going to keep you on board here because I want to touch on this. I think this is a really good point, Brian, something we haven't discussed yet. I thought the end of first half sequence was poorly played by the Bills in several regards. Number one, they did a really good job to get out of their own end. They kept it conservative, but got a couple big plays and said, okay, now we're in position. We can be a little bit more aggressive. But they only had one timeout. They were clearly trying to save that timeout for when they needed it. But then they took way too long in the huddle and had to waste that timeout with 5 seconds left. And that's what bothered me about that. If they wouldn't have taken so long in the huddle and didn't have to waste the timeout, then they could have thrown one more play and still had time to try and kick a long field goal. I'm not sure why they didn't elect to kick a 58, 59 yarder. That is a long field goal to make, and they felt that they had a better chance to throw the ball. So I think you're fair on that. I just don't know. My issue was setting that situation up and having to waste that timeout, which cost them a play.
Yeah, but also, like, the refs is horrible ref game.
It was bad.
Did you see what happened with Jerry Hughes in the locker
room? Here's the thing. I saw the video. I was not there. I was not present. Jerry didn't want to speak about it after, so I hope you can understand, Brian, that I'm not comfortable talking about it since I didn't see it, and it's a pretty weighty situation, so I don't really want to get into that until we know more because I wasn't there.
Okay. All right, Sal, man. Big fan of the show, though.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, and I hope you understand that. It just, something like that happens, and, you know, there's a lot of tentacles involved there, and a lot was made of it and said, and there's video out there, and then Jerry was asked about it. I was on the field when the incident took place, and then Jerry didn't want to talk about it, so I'd rather wait till later on, hear what Sean McDermott says, talk to Jerry this week, find out what happened, and then we can go from there. Let's go to John in Hamburg. Hi, John. You're on WGR.
Yeah, hi, Sal. Of course, I'm really disappointed. I thought the wide receivers really let Josh Allen down. But I'd like to focus on one guy who's getting a lot of praise. And
in what way? Other than the last play, what way did the wide receivers let him down?
Well, let me talk to about one wide receiver in particular that let him down. That was Zay Jones. You know, if you watch his game, and he's improved, but he never gets separation when it's man-on-man. He does a good job of finding creases in the zone, I agree. But man-on-man, you know, he gets like zero separation. And that makes him very limited as a wide receiver.
How did I'm not here? Look, I agree with you, John. Like, he's not a man-to-man beater. He's much better at finding seams in the zone, which, by the way, is his job to do. But here's what I can't figure out though. You're going to pick today of all days to complain about the guy who just had two touchdowns in the best game of his career.
Well, hear me out a little bit, Sal. I agree. Finding creases in the zone is a valuable trait, but if you're limited that way, you have to be able to come down with the tough catches. Now, he dropped a ball that was really highly thrown in the first quarter, but that second last play of the game, you know, he's got to come down with that ball.
No, I think the first one is fair. I thought he should have caught the first one you're talking about. I think the second one was a tough catch. He tried to turn around his back shoulder. He had it pinned against him. I just think that's a tough call. I'm not gonna bang on him for that one. I thought the first one you're right on, but again, John, I'll say, you're picking the day to call after the kid had the best day of his career. Kenton caught two balls for touchdowns, who, by the way, had to do a toe drag on one of them.
Okay, one last point, Sal. We'll agree to disagree on that. You know, that Josh Allen took it on himself to take the blame for the missed pass in the end zone. But, you know,
and so did Zay. Zay, they both blamed themselves.
Right, but 32 out of 32 NFL quarterbacks are going to throw to the spot. Zay Jones has got to sit in that zone. He can't be running across into another area of the zone. And if you looked where Allen threw the ball,
yep,
Zay Jones would have sat where he was supposed to sit.
I agree. Yeah, I thought it was on Zay. I think that's on Zay. I still don't think that the criticism you gave earlier is warranted after he had such a good game. And what, do you just really hate Zay Jones or something? Because this is an odd call.
I don't. I just think a limited receiver has to be able to come up with big catches and can't make mental errors.
Okay.
You look at his four catches yesterday.
Here's what I attribute, John, to that play you're talking about in the end zone. You know what I attribute that to? That's two young players, one rookie, one in his second year, who haven't played together enough to know in that situation what each expects the other to do. Personally, I thought Zay should have sat down. I put it more on him. He blamed himself. Josh also blamed himself. But I just chalk it up to those guys have not been together very long, and those things are going to happen in those situations.
Yeah, but even with a veteran quarterback is going to expect the receiver facing that defense to sit. So I don't think it has anything to do with Allen's inexperience. Tom Brady was throwing the ball at the exact same spot. You have to sit area.
Okay, thanks for the phone call. You're starting to break up there, and I just... Okay. Zay Jones had a good game yesterday. Dave in Wheatfield, sorry, go ahead. Dave, you there? I guess not. All right, let's go out to Jim in North Tonawanda. Hi, Jim, you're on WGR.
Yeah, I just want to start out by talking about, you know, when your quarterback is running for his life, he's ducking and dodging, he's bobbing and weaving. From time to time, every so often, he's going to throw a wounded duck under that kind of duress and pressure. And the receivers have to make the adjustment and come back to the ball. For whatever reason, Clay couldn't quite make the adjustment. Now I want to talk about all these stupid penalties. Look, I never played professional football, obviously. I never played college football either. However, even on the Little League and high school level, the officials might, if you're lucky, and I'm saying this from personal experience, you might say the wrong thing to an official or a player on the other team. If you're lucky, like I did, I got a warning, and the official said, you do it again, I'm going to throw the flag. If Little League and high school players can't get away with trash talking and taunting, are the Bills players stupid enough to think that it's a...
What are you specifically referring to? Because, I mean,
taunted that guy.
Can you slow down and not yell at me, please, Jim?
All right, I'm just mad at the Bills.
All right, well, you're yelling at me, and I don't appreciate it. All right, so just calm down a little bit.
All right.
All right, it's Christmas. Be happy. Be merry. Listen, all right? Jordan Phillips was called for unsportsmanlike conduct because not because he said something to the bench from what I could see. Maybe I'm wrong in this, but from what it looked like to me was his celebration, they felt, was taunting, where they felt that he still had the runner's leg in his hand when he did kind of a windmill fist pump. I thought he was fine. He celebrated. He made a tackle in the backfield. Guys celebrate when they do that. Now, to your point about, you know, looking and being smarter, he needs to be smarter because he had a target on his back for the way that he was looking at the Miami bench. It was his return to Miami. We all knew about that. But he didn't get flagged for saying something. He got flagged because they felt his celebration was over the top because they felt that he yanked the guy's leg, which I didn't think he did.
Well, you know, yeah, well, you got a point there, but here's my, you know, what we were taught in Little League and high school was this, basically this. First of all, you don't speak to an official unless the official speaks to you first.
Yeah, but Jim, this isn't Little League and high school. You're allowed to talk to the officials and find out what's going on. So you're comparing apples and oranges that don't mean anything. You're allowed to talk to the officials. Guys do it all the time.
Say the wrong thing. And then
okay, but you're right. You shouldn't say the wrong thing, but don't tell me that in high school you can't talk to the officials. That's right. I coach high school football. That's what you teach kids. But these are professionals. They're adults. They can have a conversation on the field about what's going on.
I suppose so, but if you say the wrong thing...
But he didn't say the wrong thing, Jim. I just explained that to you.
Well, I hope the official doesn't get your number and then start looking for...
Okay, Jim. I think you... You need to go and settle down a little bit. Take a couple deep breaths. Don't be so angry. Understand that it's December and the holidays are coming. And we all love you. Okay? I do. For calling the show. As I love everybody. Like Frank in Williamsville. Hi, Frank. You're on WGR. What's up?
Hey, it's great to be on.
I appreciate it, man. Well, that was an extreme. You go from that guy to this guy. What's up?
I love the Bills. I'm on and off their bandwagon. Long and short of things is, if I were the owner of the team, I would have released Mr. Benjamin and Mr. Clay after the game. They would have been taking Greyhound buses back to Buffalo. Real simple.
Well, then you wouldn't be any owner that I would ever want to play for if I was another person.
Okay. Neither.
That's not the way you treat professionals and adults. I'm sorry. You might be mad, and they can have a conversation. Maybe it costs them their job down the road, but that's not how you treat people, Frank. Sorry.
Well,
and if you actually did that, then I'd be disappointed in you as a person.
They're still under contract, and I still have to pay them. But I can find someone on the taxi squad.
Sure. After they get back to Buffalo, and you release them, if you want to do that, that's fine. But you don't leave people and make them take buses home. What are we doing here?
Well, look, I'm sending a message to the team that...
Your message to your team would be that I'm a jerk of an owner. That's what your message to the team would be.
Oh, I absolutely disagree. The message to the team would be, you've got to show up on Sunday and give 100%.
So if a guy makes a bad play or commits a few penalties, you just leave him at the stadium and make him find his way home. Is that what you're saying?
No, not the first time.
Oh, okay.
However...
Okay, Frank, I hope you're never my boss or anybody's listening boss, because that's a horrible way to treat people. Let's go to Jerry and Kenmore. What's up, Jeremy? Jerry, what's up?
Jerry. Hey, Sal, you know what?
Yeah, I said Jeremy and I apologize. Sorry.
That's all right. I'm going to yell at you and then tell you about my high school.
That's great. We're having fun today, man. This is great.
I you know what? I'm having fun all the time. You know that, right? So, first of all, I'm going to tell you a pet peeve of mine, and I'm not saying it was interference on the Zay Jones on catch. But the officials in this league have a history of, if there's pass interference and the ball is caught, not throwing the flag. Like, you almost see never when a ball is caught, even though there's pass interference.
Well, they got to make the call before the ball is caught. I mean, they see the pass interference. The flag might come out because it takes a second to reach for it. But if you see the call, you make it.
But they don't. Watch the number of times pass interference is called in this league, and the number of times pass interference is called on a caught ball. It's almost like they think, well, he caught it, I'm not going to throw it.
Well, okay, I don't agree with that. I've seen it called several times when it's caught. And by the way, usually when it's caught, maybe it's because it's not pass interference. The whole point of pass interference is they're preventing them from catching the ball. Anyway, go ahead. I don't know what the point of that is.
So can prevent you from doing...
What's the point of that? I don't know.
The point of that is, I think Zay Jones was interfered with, but they thought he caught the ball. The guy has his arm right across...
Okay, now I get it. I don't know. I thought it was maybe... It was debatable, maybe. I just think it was a tough bang play right there for everybody, but I guess you have a point. Someone brought that up to me when I came in, too, that, you know, there was interference. I didn't see the full replay on it yet.
Okay, then, you know what? I think this is a successful season, and what I saw yesterday is this kid running the ball. He's a tank, And, you know, once he figures out the speed of the game and you know, maybe improves his accuracy, which I'm hoping comes with some technique and some footwork and some other stuff. But I can't wait to see what this kid does when he has some real weapons. You know, it's regardless of how good we think Shady is, he's a shadow of himself. The wide receivers are just a thrown together group. And, you know, the tight ends yesterday, one of our best playmakers going in the year was Clay. And that's a bad throw. It's end over end. But, you know, come to the ball and catch the ball, please. No, right. It's just...
Yeah, he should have caught it. There's this thing that's going on, Jerry, today where, and I've referenced this a couple times, that people have to take a side here. Look, I mean, the ball was not a great pass. It wobbled. He said it came out of his hand poorly. However, I think anybody getting paid professionally to catch footballs should catch that pass.
Yeah, especially in that situation, you should always be coming to the ball back.
Yes, that I agree 100%. He should have been coming back.
On the scramble, you come back to the quarterback.
Now here's the thing. I also thought in real time that maybe Charles Clay had a little trouble locating it. But I asked him after the game, and he said that was not the case. But it looked like he was late to react to it. But I agree. Come back to your quarterback. He's scrambling. And a lot of that, the whole play for me, just did not make sense on a lot of levels. I don't know why guys were running so far deep when all they needed was 10, 11 yards, and then they could catch it and get a first down and stop the clock.
Well, I got to tell you, when I played in high school, Sal...
I love it.
I played on the golf team as a senior. I didn't play football.
And you're gonna call it? Are you gonna call it the taxi squad next? That was it. Remember, the guy also said called the taxi squad. You remember that when it was called the taxi squad, Jerry?
Actually, do you remember the? You know what you could never do nowadays that used to get done to us all the time as kids playing football? The coach didn't like the way you were practicing, and you're walking over to get water, and he goes, "Oh no, no water."
Oh yeah, you can't do that. You could barely tell kids to run a lap these days without being accused of something.
Yeah, no water. What do you mean no water? Yeah.
I just, come on. Like, the guy calls up and he says, if I'm the owner, he's staying on the staying at the stadium and taking a bus home. Just be quiet. Stop it. What are we doing here? Come on.
Well, I hope I was able to lighten up the day.
Yeah, you did. Thanks, Jerry. I appreciate it.
Well, I mean, the Carolina Hurricanes, or not the Hurricanes, the Panthers did that to Gerard Gallant when he was their head coach. He fired him and pretty much just left him on the curb in Carolina.
Yeah, I know, and I think they did that to Lane Kiffin maybe at USC. Was that it? Like, they left him on the tarmac or something like that?
I don't remember that, but...
Yeah, I'm talking about players here, though. You know what I mean?
Oh, I understand, but still, it's just like there are situations out there where it does happen, but I mean, I'm not saying that I condone any of those actions. It's just...
Do we ever know of a player? Do we ever really know of a player in professional sports that was cut after a game and said, find your own way home?
I felt like there was a situation a couple years ago with a Bills... Wasn't it Darius or something like that?
No, he was sent home.
He was sent home
because he was late, and it was disciplined. He was sent home before the game.
Okay. I thought there was a road game or something like that.
I think they found him transportation, though, home. Like, he... You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't like, hey, you're on your own.
Right.
Or something like that.
Right.
But, I mean... The guy who called up and said that, I mean, if he actually did that, like if he was the owner and did that, nobody would ever want to work for him.
No.
So you'd be pretty counterproductive in cutting off your nose to spite your own face. Tom in North Tonawanda, what's up, man?
Hey, Sal, how you doing?
Good, bud.
Hey, first, thanks for injecting some sanity into this whole Ellen Clay play. Jeez, I'm going nuts, and that's all you're reading about.
It's just, we don't have to choose sides here. Why does everything have to be so polarizing? I don't know.
You know,
I just blame the last several election cycles we've gotten that way, right? Come on.
You know, there you go. But, you know, I mean, in high school, I would have caught that ball because back.
I love it.
So hey,
me too, by the way. By the way, I am still the all-time Cleveland Hill High School yards per reception leader for a career, and that's a 27-year-old record now. How about that?
That's pretty impressive, Sal. That's not too bad. Just jinxed it for next year, though.
I know. Someone's going to break it.
Hey, what I want to talk about, and I haven't heard as much on this, is, and you touched on a little bit, some of these coaching decisions and the time management and things like, I mean, when I was watching that fourth down and two from the 50-yard line, you know me, I'm a stats guy. I'm thinking, well, this is an easy decision. You go for it, and they came out, and they lined up, and I thought, good. About 10, 15 seconds, I realized, oh, they're doing the old, let's see if we can get them to jump off sides thing, which works once every 5 years for a team. And it just, I see things like that. It drives me nuts. That challenge, I don't know who's telling him to challenge these plays, but for heaven's sakes, I mean, it would have been challenged the other way in one. I mean, it was clearly he stretched a ball out over the line, and that caused him a timeout. boy, wouldn't that extra timeout been nice at the end of the first half?
Here's the thing, Tom. This is a good debate. So Mark Kelso and I debated during the Mark and I have some of the best conversations off the air, actually. We don't have time during the game, and I love listening to him, and we talk a lot of football during the breaks and timeouts. And Mark and I were debating whether or not it was a good challenge or not, and his point was it's not a good challenge. It doesn't look like it's going to go. And on top of that, you're going to get great field position anyway. Wouldn't you want that kicking from the end zone as opposed to kicking from the 20? Now, my side was, hey, Sean McDermott is trying to get 2 points here because his offense has struggled so mightily this year, he thinks maybe 2 points is really valuable in this game. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, and I get that. I'm just looking at it. There was no way to win that. I mean, and somebody needs to be given.
That's right.
And you know, that end of the first half, that fourth down just drove me nuts. I mean, I was scrambling. I'm glad I was home alone because I was screaming stuff. It's first off, it's a play. It's you go for it. I mean, the numbers are overwhelming that you go for it on that end. You know, then they do this whole fake. Well, maybe we'll get them to draw them offsides. Well, no, you're not going to. I mean, it works once every 5 years. It's just frustrating to see things like this with this team. And if they really want to develop Josh Allen, you let him go for it here. You know, with the way he was moving and running and gaining, and they were dropping off, and Alonzo was spying him some, but it wasn't working. I'm thinking, you go for the 2 yards. What are you going to do? You know, and they gained 25 yards in that punt or something, and
yeah,
up the ball. And it's just incredibly frustrating.
I thought the end of the first half sequence was poor.
Yeah.
So thanks, buddy. I appreciate it.
Thanks. Have a good day.
All right. No problem. All right. Let's focus on the next game brought to you by Atwal Eye Care. Your vision, our focus. The Bills will be back home next week taking on the New York Jets, a team that they just beat a few weeks ago, 41-10, out in New Jersey. The Jets come into this game having blown a lead. What was it, 16 points they were up, I think, against the Tennessee Titans. They are not having the season that they expected, they hoped. Here's a good thing, though, for all of us. I think Sam Darnold's going to play in this game next week. I think Sam is going to play, and we're going to see Sam against Josh. We were robbed of that a few weeks ago. The Jets in the standings behind the Bills, 3-9, fourth place in the AFC East. The Bills at 4-8, and third place behind Miami at 6-6. Bills Jets next Sunday in Orchard Park, New Era Field. Kickoff at 1 p.m., of course, right here on WGR. That's our focus on the next game, brought to you by Atwal Eye Care. Your vision, our focus. We still got to get to stand up. I'm sorry, sit up. Still got to get to sit up, stand down. See how I like how I did that? Kind of reversed it, but it's true. Sit up, stand down, and my buddy. My buddy is really, truly my buddy every day. When we come back, I'll tell you who that is on WGR.
A band of brothers, we stick together no matter what. You know, I feel like I let everybody down. And that, I mean, that's hard. You know, like I said, we all go to work together and come out and like I said, let everybody down. When everybody played good enough to win, it's hard, but like I said, I'm going to go back to work.
That was Bills tight end Charles Clay, a rough one for him at the end of the game. The pass that we've debated throughout the morning here, post-game show today, it's going to continue on. I've said my piece on it. He should have caught the ball. It also wasn't a great pass, but it's catchable, and you're paid to catch those passes. He should have caught the ball. And I'll say this, though, for Charles Clay, right there, stood in the locker, answered every question about it, took accountability, put it on himself, said he let his team down, so he wasn't hiding from that. In any respect, you heard a little bit of that right there. All of our audio from yesterday after the game can be found at WGR550.com, as well as my post-game thoughts, Sal Sticks, who was ahead, who was behind, my big picture for the Bills in this one. You can read it all at WGR550.com. We'll get to sit up, stand down, hey buddy, after we get to Jason and Kenmore. Hi, Jason. You're on WGR.
How you doing, Phil?
Good, thanks.
Good. Just giving a call. I heard a couple of the previous callers questioning Clay and Allen's effort, not giving 100% effort. I thought they both gave full effort on that play. I think it was a simple rookie mistake. It was underthrown ball, you know, thrown across the side of the field. He had to make that throw at that time, given the game situation. But I think Clay should make that catch. It should be a better thrown ball, but it just didn't work out. I'm not looking to blame either of them extensively. Also, the real quick on the Hughes after-game confrontation. It looks like that referee actually had a history of that happening with Trent Williams back in Washington in 13. So there may be some truth.
I don't even know which official it was, Jason, to be honest with you. I've seen the video. I was not present when it happened, like I said, and Jerry did not want to talk about it after the game, so I'm not even sure what official it was.
I believe it was Roy Ellison.
Okay, I'm not sure. I don't want to, yeah, so if you say so, but look, I mean, the league's going to review it. We'll see what happened, you know, and if he was called a name on the field, that should never happen. You also don't want to see any player confronting an official. I mean, it's just it's a bad situation all around, but I wasn't there. I don't know what happened. I don't know what was said. I don't know what, you know, was said on the field either.
Right. Thank you, Sal. Appreciate
okay, you're welcome. All right. Should we do sit up, stand down now? We look around the league. We got some other things we can do. I do have time for your phone calls. If you want to jump in here, if you get in now with me, I'll get you on before the end of the show, hopefully. I think I can. I got open phone lines right now, 803-0550. If not, you'll be just waiting for Murph. But jump in now, and you know we'll get you on the air here before the end of the program. Who are we sitting up on? Who are we standing down on? And who's my buddy? Well, let's start with sitting up. I think it's time. I have not been a believer in this team, but I think it's time to start being a believer in what the Houston Texans are doing. Because they have now, after winning yesterday against the Cleveland Browns, what was the score? 29-13, and picking off Baker Mayfield three times in the second half, after starting the season 0-3 and being, quote-unquote, on the hot seat as a head coach, Bill O'Brien, and whether or not he'd survive, they've now won 9 in a row. 9 wins in a row for the Houston Texans. And they can kind of play it both ways. They can score with you or they can play defense. This is a team that I think we need to start paying attention to and we need to sit up on. Yesterday in this game for the Texans, Deshaun Watson doing what he does. 22 of 31, 224 and a touchdown. Ran 7 times for 30 yards. He's no Josh Allen running the ball. But Deshaun has proven that he is a legitimate quarterback that's going to give his team a chance to win almost every single week. And what that defense did to Baker Mayfield early on won the game for them because Mayfield came back to finish 29 of 43 for 397. By the way, I'm looking at the box score now. This is a very weird thing. The Browns had one running back carry the ball yesterday in only 9 attempts all day. Nick Chubb, 9 carries, 31 yards. Other than that, they threw it 43 times at Baker Mayfield. Wow. So let's sit up and pay attention to the Houston Texans and what they're doing. A team that, again, I did not have much faith in this year. I didn't think they'd be very good, but they're proving me wrong right now. You know who else is proving me wrong? A team we need to stand down on. I've been waiting for them to finally say, all right, look, they are still really good. But I don't know what happened to the Minnesota Vikings this year. We're going to stand down on them. The Bills beat them early on, 27-6. People chalked it up to, you know, the Vikings just not playing well, not in sync yet. They lost the next week to L.A. Then they won 3 in a row. Then they lost, and they won, then they lost, and they won, then they lost again yesterday at New England. No shame to losing the Patriots, right? 24-10. They lost at New England. But they are just not the same team. They just aren't in sync. They're not performing near the level that most believe they would this year, including me, who, oh, by the way, had them winning the Super Bowl. I had the Vikings beating the Chargers, who are a team that could prove me right. I had the Vikings winning the Super Bowl, and right now, here's the thing. Going into the year, most people said, boy, the best teams in this league are in the NFC. Philly, Minnesota, New Orleans. You can't even put Minnesota in that category anymore. They are not one of the best teams in the league. They're a pretty good team. They have talent. They're 6-5-1. They're going to lose the division to the Chicago Bears. And they might not even make the playoffs. As of right now, I'm going to tell you the seeds. They're out. They're the 7th seed looking in at Washington, who's 6, who, oh, by the way, plays the Philly Eagles tonight. But we're going to stand down on Minnesota because they are not the team I thought they would be. All right, let's take a phone call. We'll get to Hey Buddy in a little while. Let's do Brian in Grand Island. Hi, Brian. You're on WGR.
Hey, Sal. Thanks for taking my call today. So I have a quick question about the All-22, and I guess just all of Josh Allen's body of work. So I know recently people commented on Tyrod missing guys wide open. They saw it on the All-22. Do you see the same thing with Josh Allen? I mean, I think my biggest knock on him is not getting the ball out fast enough. And I know people say, oh, the receivers aren't good enough. They're not getting open. However, this is the same receiver core we had last year under Tyrod. Not a lot of big changes.
Okay, a couple things, Brian. And I don't mean to rush you, but I want to make sure I get this phone call because I do have another break. So a couple things here, all right? Number one, yeah, there are times where I'd say, you know, he should have thrown to that guy. But what happens to me is what I see from Josh is he bails out. He bails from the pass rush too soon instead of throwing to that guy. I don't think it's that he doesn't see the open guy in the same sense that Tyrod didn't see him. I think that he doesn't see him because he bails out of there too soon in order to be able to see him. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and is that because the offensive line is breaking down? Or do
you I think he's just still feeling his way. You know, when he came out of college, he had such a poor offensive line. I think he got into a lot of bad habits of taking off too soon, using his athleticism. I still think things are showing up a little bit, but, you know, he's getting better. The other thing I'll say, though, Brian, is whenever someone wants to compare, well, Tyrod this, Tyrod that, I think it's completely unfair to a guy that just started his seventh game to a guy that was in his seventh year as a pro last year. I'm not going to compare the two, and I think they should be held to a different standard. He's a rookie in his seventh start, and people want to compare to what Tyrod was doing in his seventh year in the NFL. I don't think that's fair.
Well, I guess I'm not comparing. I'm just making the statement because, again, people said these receivers didn't get open, and I guess I just wanted your opinion on, are the receivers not getting open, or is it just more of Josh is a rookie and he just needs to make a few better decisions?
I think it's a lot on Allen needing to see the play more before he decides to run. But this receiving corps is not good at beating their men one on one. They're better now. They have a few guys that can do that. They have had trouble getting open. They don't separate as well. Robert Foster gets down the field. Isaiah McKenzie's doing a better job. But I think that the biggest issue here is that I need to see Josh Allen improve on is, and it showed up again yesterday, but not as much, and I'm seeing baby steps here. Don't just, you know, say, oh, here comes the pass rush, I got to go, you know, and keep the play alive, and then you miss somebody who might be open. You know what I mean?
Right. That's fair. All right. Thanks, Al. Thanks.
You're welcome. The All-22 comes out tomorrow. Got to wait till Tuesday for that from this game. Nick in Buffalo. Nick, you're on WGR.
Hey, Sal. Thanks for having me.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, a couple things I want to talk about. We should have crushed the Dolphins yesterday. I mean, there's no two ways around it. The defense was keeping us in that game. My question to you is, how is McDermott going to get around these absolutely absurd penalties we're taking? I know we have a lot of new guys.
I don't think he's planning to get around them. He accepts and says that they're unacceptable and you can't play football like that.
Well, I mean, I love what Josh Allen was doing. I don't even think anybody should be talking about the end of the game play because it should have never gotten to that between the dumb penalties we were taking and some calls that didn't go our way. You know, Josh Allen got roughed up a couple times. There was a horse collar that never got called. I mean, I don't really think anybody should be talking about Charles Clay being at fault for this loss.
Well, look, I mean, penalties were an issue. They've been an issue too many times this year. I agree with you. But it's not like Sean McDermott's hiding from that. I mean, he also admits that and says that. I think what happens sometimes, Nick, is, you know, guys, when their technique breaks down and they get beat, they reach, they hold, they do things like that. You know, you got to be better than that so you don't put yourself in that position.
Sure. And one other thing is, you know, you're comparing Josh Allen to Tyrod. I think Josh.
I'm not.
Well, a lot of people are. And I've.
Right.
At least when Tyrod ran, he would make really stupid decisions and like put himself at risk, where Josh Allen's starting to run out of bounds, he's starting to slide, and I think he looks a lot better, like you said, seventh start versus a seventh year man. I think he's going to be a force. You put a good O-line in front of him and some decent receivers, and I cannot wait to dump Kelvin Benjamin. That guy is just so lazy, it's killing me.
Well, you probably only have to wait a month before he's not going to be around. That's at least my prediction on that, but we'll see. Thanks for the phone call. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. I got a special buddy today. He's my buddy every day of my life, and I'll tell you why when we come back on WGR. Time for your favorite segment of the week. Hey, buddy. Who's my buddy? My buddy today is always my buddy. every single day of my life for the last 5 years. In fact, just over 5 years ago, I was sitting in this very chair doing a nighttime show. Something happened. I had to come in. It was maybe a holiday time. It was right around Thanksgiving week or what, right around there. And I was here doing a show, and I had my pregnant wife here in the studio with me. And I said on the air that day, I said, hey, if there's suddenly dead air, it might be because we're going to the hospital because my wife's in labor and we're having a kid. Well, didn't happen that night, thankfully, but it did happen about a week later on December 3rd, 2013. Today is December 3rd, 2018. Maximilian Antonino Capaccio is 5 years old today. Happy birthday to the best buddy I could ever have and ask for. The craziest little man, Buffalo sports fan, energetic as all heck, and I wouldn't have it any other way. You listen to me on the radio, you know I'm energetic, you know I'm positive and, you know, talk a little fast sometimes, get into it, fiery. That's Max. He looks like mom, thank goodness. But he acts like dad. And he's my buddy every single day of my life, but especially today on his 5-year birthday. Happy birthday, Max. We love you. Daddy loves you. Syracuse going to the Camping World Bowl, huh? Where's UB going?
The Dollar General Bowl.
Dollar General. And I apologize. I just was so... It happened all yesterday while I was at the game. Last minute of play. Dollar General Bowl is where?
Mobile, Alabama.
Mobile, yep. And that is going to be on... Do we have the date on that?
December 22nd, I believe.
Thank you. So here's the thing. So Syracuse goes to the Camping World Bowl in Orlando on December 28th. I cannot go down to Orlando for that. I have to work. That's a Bills game week. But my wife and Max, speaking of him, will be in Florida during that week. And now I'm jealous because they can go to the game if they want. They won't go to the game, but if they wanted to, they could. I won't be down there. Syracuse, West Virginia, is the over-under already set at like 72 in that game? It might be. Oh my gosh. Let's see if I can find it before we get on out of here. Let's see. What is the over-under in the Syracuse, West Virginia bowl game? Syracuse, here. Oh, 74. 74. Thank you to Brayton Wilson for producing. John Murphy, Mark Kelso, Steve Tasker, excuse me, up next with Bun Bills Live.